And yep, good to see everybody this morning. Barely awake here. I got home and got cleaned up, ready to get in bed. And I was in my bathroom, stepped in a pool of water, and looked down and was like, "That's a lot of water." Everybody was asleep, and I had a nice leaking cold water valve that who knows how long it had been leaking and was flooding my bathroom. And so I thought I was going to get in bed in one time, but I got in bed on that next hour rolled around. I was cleaning up water and drying off things. And so, but it's good to be here this morning. Hopefully I can fix that after we meet. I shut the valve down and dried it up and jumped in bed. Things are in this broken world we live in. Things are constantly rotting, rusting, decaying, along with my water lines. And so praise the Lord for the new heavens and the new earth that one day those things won't happen. We have a divine plumber who builds things that won't shut down. And so I look forward to that. But look forward to getting to his word this morning. I'm going to look at Psalm 46. And, you know, the Psalm 46 is even, it even speaks to me in that moment last night. You know, as I was cleaning up things and thinking about the attitude of my heart during the midst of that, Psalm 46 speaks to us in that. Psalm 46 reveals to us that God is our fortress. I'll read through it. We'll pray one more time and then we'll walk through it. So Psalm 46 says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for this, your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray that you give us grace to walk in it. I pray that it would be correctly handled. And then, Lord, I pray that it would be correctly applied. May you give me grace. May Holy Spirit, you come. May Christ known and speak to us. It is in your name I pray. Amen. So God is our fortress. This psalm was possibly written as a reference to the events of 2 Kings 18, 19, and even 20. In 2 Kings 18 and 19, the main characters there are Isaiah, are Hezekiah, and Sennacherib. I reckon that's how you pronounce his name. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, Isaiah, of course, the prophet, and Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And Sennacherib had come and had laid siege to Judah, had laid siege to Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah is king there. Sennacherib has come and has, you know, surrounded the city and is going to take the city. And this is actually Sennacherib sent word in to Hezekiah. And this is what he says in 2 Kings 19. I'm going to look at verse 9. It says, "Now the king heard concerning Turcab, king of Cush, behold, he has set out to fight against you." So he sent messengers again to Hezekiah. Sennacherib sent messengers to Hezekiah. "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, the nations that my fathers destroyed?" Then he goes on and he mentions those kings. So Sennacherib is basically not only taunting Hezekiah, but he's taunting Hezekiah's God. And so what does God do? Well, Isaiah comes and he speaks to Hezekiah, reassures Hezekiah, and Hezekiah prays. Hezekiah turns to the Lord, and Hezekiah prays. And what happens? Well, in verse 19:35, we read that at that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adramelech and Sharezer, his son, struck him down with a sword and escaped into the land of Ariad. So we see here that the Lord showed up. The Lord showed up. The Lord showed up and protected Jerusalem. The Lord showed up and defended his people. The Lord showed up and even rebuked Sennacherib. And Psalm 46 here, looking back, referring to what was going on there. So we'll go through Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Right now, we might not have a Sennacherib that is encamped around us and desiring to conquer us, but we do have an enemy. And the enemy does desire to conquer us. And there are numerous ways that the enemy desires to conquer us. Therefore, Peter says, hey, be alert. Your enemy is like a roaring lion, prowling around, looking to whom he may conquer. That we deal today in spiritual warfare. And not only is there spiritual warfare, but you can see the way that it's played out. You might look and think, man, the enemy is camped around our nation right now. It looks like the nation will totter. Looks like the nation will fall. You know, who knows what will happen in November? Who knows what's going on in the market with, you know, my retirement? Who knows? You know, there's a lot of things that you might be looking at and wondering what is going on here. And what is taking place here. But remember, who is our refuge? As much as I love our country, and that's actually what Eric and I went on a little trip back towards my hometown last night. A friend of mine's father has a farm and has this pretty nice barn, neat setup, and he had a gentleman come and speaking on the Christian heritage of our nation and the founding fathers and the things they put in place and just the importance of the documents that they put in place as well and how the scriptures and the Lord were involved with all of that. So it was a very informative time. And, you know, he talked a lot about the current situation in our nation. And it's easy to think, hey, the current situation in our nation is pretty bad. People have forgotten how we were founded as a nation. People have forgotten the blessings of this nation. People have forgotten the purposes of this nation. People have forgotten the God of this nation. And, you know, as you look around, you think, man, this is times of trouble. And where is God? Well, right here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help. that he is here. He is among us. He is omnipresent. And he's not only omnipresent currently here, he's omniscient. He knows the conditions of the situations that we're in. Not only is he omniscient, not only is he omnipresent, not only is he omniscient, he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can handle the situations that we are in. And if you look in a footnote, my ESV Bible one has a little footnote there with very present. The footnote says, or well-proved. Not only is God very present, but he's well-proved. He's proved himself worthy of our trust. He's proved himself worthy of our worship. And he's proved himself worthy of our confidence, that we have confidence in him. We don't have confidence in the market. We don't have confidence in a political party. We don't have confidence in a president. We don't have confidence in fill in the blank, because those are the chariots of the world. And those are the bows of the world. But as we'll read in a minute, God breaks those things down. Some trust in horses, others in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Our confidence, our hope, are not in the things that have proven themselves unfaithful. And those things aren't present continually. But the Lord has proven himself faithful, and the Lord is constantly present. And so, let him be your refuge. Let him be your tower. Let him be your strength. Run to him. Going on, it says, therefore, since God is our refuge, since God is our strength, since God is a very present help in trouble, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. This is describing some form of earthquake. Some sort of something that has shaken the earth and frightened the people. But the Lord does not give his people a spirit of timidity or of fear, but he gives us a spirit of a sound mind, a spirit that does not fear. Because again, we trust in that which is secure. We trust in the kingdom that cannot be shaken, as Hebrews talks about, the God who cannot be shaken. And he says, though the mountains be moved, I mean, the mountains are what would appear to be firm, what would appear to be fixed, but that which would normally be fixed and secure and solid, no, it is being removed. Verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So the things that man would believe in, the things that man would put his hope in and his trust in that he thinks is secure, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to hack it. Only the Lord stands firm. Only the Lord stands secure. So what is your trust in? We've got to constantly ask ourselves this. When all seems like it's falling apart around us, whether that be the plumbing in your bathroom, whether that be the nation as a whole, whether that be work, whether that be family, whether that be whatever, when the things are falling apart around us, and things are going to fall apart around us, the earth is in a state of decay. The earth is in a state of chaos, but there's coming a day when the King, the true King, the eternal King, the one who will never fail us, is returning and making all things new. Is our trust and our hope in him and his return? And are we looking to him to make things right? Are we looking to the things of the world? If we look to the things of the world, the people of the world, to make things right, we will be sorely disappointed. And Isaiah told Hezekiah, look to God. Look to God, for he is your deliverance. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, going back to Isaiah, there's no river in Jerusalem. Most cities of antiquity were built by rivers because there's a water source there. Jerusalem, there's, you know, it's not built by a river. There was, however, a spring not too far away. And when the city was besieged, they had built a tunnel. And that tunnel tied it into the spring. They built the tunnel to the spring, and they brought water into the city. And they had water in a pool in the city that had come from that spring. And so, you know, who is our spring? Who is your spring of living water? Who are you digging into? Jesus, when he stood in the temple in John, he says, hey, he said, I'm the living water. I am the living water. In John 7:37, says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall gush forth torrents of living water. You got to dig into the Lord. You got to dig into Jesus Christ. There's going to be times where the enemy does besiege your heart, besiege your mind. He's going to encamp around you, and he's going to want to wreak havoc. And where's your source? Is your source, again, the things of the world? Or have you dug in deeply and rooted in Jesus Christ? Because he is the living water. And when we abide in him, when we are rooted and planted in him, then we, like Psalm 1 talks about, are that tree that's planted by the living water. Not only planted by the living water, abiding in that living water and bearing fruit, the fruit of peace. When there's chaos around us and things aren't looking good, we have the fruit of peace in our life because we are connected to that living water, Jesus Christ. We are abiding in him, having his spirit within us. And the fruit of his spirit is joy and peace. And so in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the earthquake, in the midst of things falling apart, in the midst of things that we don't understand, in the midst of things that seem like they're not going to turn out good, possibly. If you're abiding in Christ, if you're connected in him, if you've dug into him and are drinking deeply from him, then the joy of the Lord will be present and the peace of Christ will rule and reign in your heart. So is Christ. He is that spring of living water. And when he is in our midst, we are abiding in him, we shall not be moved, and he is our deliverer. When the morning came, the angel of the Lord had destroyed the Assyrians. God shows up. He's an ever-present help in times of need, and he will help us. He will help us. Abide in him. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. So even the nations will rage against him. But simply his voice, do you hear his voice? We need to hear his voice daily. And it will melt away the chaos of the world in our heart. Because the kingdoms totter, the nations rage. Get on the news source and look. And this is today's situation. But are you hearing his voice? Again, are you tuning your ear to listen to him? And as you do, those things melt away. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is the Lord of hosts. He has his army. And he is with us. He is our fortress. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The weapons of the world, they will be destroyed by God. The weapons of the enemy will be destroyed by God. And again, the crucial importance of abiding in Jesus Christ, the crucial importance of listening to him and hearing his voice, because he will show up and destroy the weapons of the world. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In the midst of the storm, Is your heart still? Is your heart at rest? Is your heart filled with Christ, abiding in Him, drinking deeply of Him, allowing His living water to flow through you? And when that happens, then in the midst of the storm, we can be still. We can be still and not frantic. We can rejoice and not despair, because the Lord, He is the one who will be exalted. He is ruling. He is reigning. He'll be exalted among the nations. He'll be exalted in the earth. And if He is for you, who can be against you? Who can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ? Nothing. Nothing. The chaos of the world, the things that are breaking down around us, those things, they can't separate us from His love. Therefore, rejoice in His love. I love even the picture that Peter gives wives in 1 Peter 3. In 1 Peter 3, he's given instructions to wives, and he talks about them having a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is a picture of the church. The believers, as we're married to God, as we're married to Christ, as we are His bride, we can have a gentle and quiet spirit, a heart that is at peace, even when things around us might not look peaceful. And then when Peter's given that charge to wives, in that last little portion there in verse 6, he says, do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. When you understand the love of Jesus Christ that He has for His bride, your heart can be at peace. You can have that gentle, quiet spirit that is not anxious about the things of the world. And you cannot be frightened because, again, He is your fortress. And so, as Isaiah told Hezekiah to trust in the Lord, for look to the Lord for deliverance, I encourage us as men, look to the Lord for deliverance. When the nations rage and the nations totter, when things aren't looking too good, and it looks like the enemy has encamped around us, dig deep into Christ and let Him fill you and let Him sustain you. Let Him be your fortress. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into our groups. Father, thank You for Your word. Again, thank You for Your word that reminds us that You are a very present help in times of trouble, that You are a proven help, that You are omniscient. You know about our situation. You're omnipresent. You're present in our situation, and You're omnipotent. You are powerful to conquer our situation. And not only You coming and conquering the situation, but Jesus, as we abide in You, we too are more than conquerors. And so we are overcomers. No one can separate us from the love of the Father, Jesus, because You have purchased us and You love us with an eternal love. We are Yours. And just as Hezekiah passed away and he was no more, and his kingdom no more, as Jerusalem was conquered eventually, Father, we thank You that Your kingdom will not be shaken, that Your kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and that, Jesus, You are a conquering king that cannot be captured, and You are in our midst. So may we remember that. May we live in light of that. May we rejoice no matter what the nations do, no matter what the oceans, how they rage and the mountains move. May we rejoice, Jesus. May You make our hearts glad. And may we reveal to the world what the light of Christ looks like, even in the midst of darkness. We praise You and thank You for Your great commitment, not only Your commitment, but Your power to overcome. May You be our fortress daily. In Christ's name, amen.